Feuer is in bloom, the PR transmissions will resume. They try to push drugs and keep us all dumbed down and hope that we will never see the truth around. Another promise, another seed, another package lie to keep us trapped in greed. Another green bed wrapped around our minds, an endless red tape to keep the truth confined.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment.
Oh yeah!
This is our friend's Das Sound Machine.
This is on the radio show.
Oh yeah!
That's German! That's German radio show.
Yes. Oh. We've taken over the Americans.
We are glorious.
We are. We Germans. We love our friends Das Sound Machine. They do a great job. I love it.
They do a very good job. We vote for a German candidate on the KPHX.
Das Boot.
Have you ever tried the Das Boot? No.
Good stuff here, of course, from Pitch Perfect 2, Das Sound Machine.
Car show. Yeah. A bunch of different songs.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's play at the car show.
And our accent sounded, mine probably was Russian, Jewish.
I don't
Joseph
even know what I was.
Asian and Eric.
Asian.
Doesn't have, he has his own
Eric. Well, since I am German, I figured mine was probably the closest.
You probably had the best one.
What's the best Polish food, though, since I screwed up with the kielbasa? I mean, Polish.
I
what
don't
am I
know.
Doing?
I'm not Polish.
You sure, there's
the
nothing you
German
want to
food?
Tell us, Joseph. We don't care.
What
I mean,
is
we're
the best
all
German food?
Here.
What's German food? Let's see.
Wiener
I don't
schnitzel.
Know. I don't eat
Wiener
German
schnitzel.
Food.
Okay. Yeah.
I used to love Wiener schnitzel.
Oh, I did. Whatever happened to that? That was a great place.
They still have some out here. Yeah. I mean, it's California.
They had the best hamburgers. I love their hamburgers.
And they used to have these big, like, foot longs that
with chili
cheese. Yeah. Yeah. You would have liked that, Joseph, without the chili though.
Yeah.
Maybe some mayo. So looking in at this hour brought to you by Business Owner Tax Relief. I wonder if they like Wiener Schnitzel. Good food there. It's actually
tasty
close to their office, 59th. Explore how to reduce taxes for all eligible companies, schools, and municipalities. 623-888-3210. Give them a call again. 623-888-3210. And online, azbotr.com. azbotr.com.
All right, so we only have a minute here to bring on our guest because we've got to play our pre-recorded
guest?
Interview. Well, our guest because it's
you
kind of like a regular
loosely.
Thing. Bobby, how's it going?
Hi, good. Kielbasa is good if you get it from Bremont, Texas, which is a Polish place. Kotowalski's grocery store. Also, Gołąbki's, which are the cabbage rice rolls with either ground beef or steak or whatever, or potatoes, and then pierogi, which are phenomenal, sauteed in butter. And then
are pierogies Polish?
Yeah, pierogies are Polish. And also kiszka. Kiszka is...
Who stole the kiszka from
shop? Well, no, the kiszka is the stomach of the cow, pig, whatever you got, cleaned out, et cetera, stuffed with
whatever
rice, the sweetbreads, et cetera, and lots of savory Polish spices.
Nice.
Sounds
and
disgusting.
Then potato vodka to end it all.
Well, Bobby, you sound like you really enjoy your Polish sausage.
A Polish, I could take that and go for 15 minutes, but I'm not going to do that.
I know.
Okay,
well,
smart man.
Wait, you
we only have a minute.
Polish sausage
we only
for
had
15
a minute.
Minutes. Wow, good for you, Bobby.
I have a photo of me at Rocky Point in
it's
a
okay.
Sandrail with a Polish kielbasa hanging off the... people were accusing me of some dastardly deed.
Oh my god,
what's going on?
Are you okay? Are you dead?
I gotta go hide. I see you later. Bye.
Oh,
bye,
bye,
Bob.
Bye. It sounds like the Jerky Boys. All right.
Yeah, they're after her.
Okay. Well, while we enjoy some Polish sausage in studio, which has nothing to do with the whole German thing, I just slipped up and said Polish instead of German.
What do you suppose was happening in the background there? People probably think I'm playing sound effects.
I know. That's not sound effects.
That was real.
That's real. That's
our house was getting robbed as we speak.
Yeah.
The robbery happened.
You ever
it's
hear
okay.
that Jerky Boys thing when there's like a chainsaw in the background? It's like, ah!
I never watched the Jerky Boys.
No, they did a bunch of like prank phone calls before
they
made
the
movie.
Yeah,
okay.
the phone calls. And then it's like a chainsaw in the background. It's okay. This is a bone showing, but it's okay. I can make it. All right. Anyway, let's hear our pre-recorded interview with writer-director Chris Dowling and actor Christopher Polaha on behalf of Where Hope Grows.
Here we go.
I am producer and film commentator Joseph J. Erdo here with director Chris Dowling and actor Christopher Polaha. Where Hope Grows, it's an amazing film.
But, you know, I wrote it a while back, and I was actually working on another project with two of the other producers, and we were looking for a film that had a small-town vibe, and the film we were working on just wasn't kind of working, and so I just pulled it out and said, hey, what do you guys think of this? And they dug it. We kind of developed it some more, and then, you know, it's still a long process. We thought we had some money here and there, and finally, you know, 2 years ago, we had a couple great producers, Sim and Steve, that came on board with this guy Jesse, who's, you know, and they believed in it and still believe in it. And so, you know, it was born.
Right. And then, you know, so how did you choose Christopher here?
I've known Chris for a long time, and so we had kind of lost
contact for a little.
I tried to Facebook friend him, and
on Facebook,
and he denied it. So it was awkward at first, but I knew he'd be, you know, perfect for this, and obviously the proof is in the theater, and, you know, in the film, like, he was perfect for it. So so I made a hard push to get him.
The story, actually, the plot thickens, because didn't my manager, they wanted to see some tape or something, and my manager's like, you don't want to see his tape, he's actually better in the room. So there was like an offer on the table that he, I mean, it's just sort of a strange, like, yeah. It was one of those moments that could have been a little more complicated than it had.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and they sent over the tape and kind of gave us a warning and stuff, and I had to show it to the producers and stuff. But ultimately, I said, hey, this, and again, you know, thankfully, Steve and some of those guys, you know, they believed and let me kind of run with stuff, and they got on board too, so.
I actually did, I acted a very small role in Chris Dowling's short that he shot about 12 years ago now?
It was 06.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, I think it was.
Okay. So, yeah, 9 years ago, called Plight of the Clownana. So this is the second collaboration that we've had. We're trying to do like Scorsese and De Niro is our ambition, our great ambition.
Yeah, we're definitely the low-budget versions of that right now, but yes.
Well, forgive me for not knowing, but is Where Hope Grows your first feature length, or?
It's the second film that I've written and directed, and then the third one that's been this guy distribution that I've written, and then there's some others that are kind of in the works now, but, you know, they're all crapshoots.
Well, you know, this is a really special film. You know, talk about that.
From all the audience testing we've gotten, the feedback we've gotten, you know, just as the film standalone, people love it. I mean, it's been awesome, man. We've top boxed at this crazy, crazy percentage, and it continues to just show that with every screening. Like, we keep getting the same results. So ultimately, at the end of the day, we know we have a good film that people are responding to, just in general. However, because we deal with a lot of issues, but, you know, importantly, you know, maybe most importantly, is the special needs community. And, you know, one of the main lead actors is Down syndrome. And that's a passion for Chris and I and the rest of the team. And so we feel like it's an important film, not just a good film, but it's an important film because it's time to shatter stereotypes and kind of show the world what people with special needs are truly capable of doing.
And tell us a little bit about the support that you've received.
Yeah, you know, groups like Special Olympics and Special Olympic World Games and Best Buddies International, Albert Pujols Family Foundation. Yeah, so we got a lot of groups that are supporting us, which has been awesome. And then, you know, a lot of the faith communities kind of jumped on board. You know, we had a lot of, it was pretty cool, celebrities, musicians and stuff tweeting for us and stuff. Like, it's just been...
Yeah, last Saturday was World Down Syndrome Awareness Day. And we had everybody from, it was Mark Sanchez and Gwen Stefani, Gavin Rosdale, Rain Wilson, Mark Paul Gosser. We just had a ton of people tweeting in support of a PSA, actually, that Chris and David DeSanctis, Chris directed it and David was in it, about shattering stereotypes and about basically, you know, putting value on life and saying, you know, just because someone's born differently doesn't mean that you can excuse them from the conversation or excuse them from the table. And I think that's why this movie is so powerful. It gives a voice to a community that has a strong voice, but by and large, is always treated as a side project, whereas this puts it right in front and center and treats it like these are equal. We're dealing with equal, equal footing here. And you see David DeSanctis' performance, and I was just in there watching it, and there's a scene where he looks at this board and wants to be the employee of the month, and as an actor, he just goes to this place where he's so heartbroken, and then he turns around, and I'm looking at him, and his face is looking up at me, and I'm like, you know, life isn't fair. And it was beautiful, and he's a great actor. And it's just, it's not like, oh, well, there's a guy with special needs in the movie, and he's an amazing actor.
Yeah, I think
like,
that's what it 100%. Is. It's not gimmicky.
It's not
like,
gimmick.
He's not a gimmick. He's just another character in the film. Just so happens he has Down syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned David DeSanctis. It's his first performance as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you do much coaching?
Chris Dowling did such an amazing job, such a masterful job directing the film by and large, but also specifically scenes with David, because what he allowed was, I think a lot of directors want, they just control, and there's a fight control, and Chris was smart enough to say, let me just watch, we'll just let the camera roll, we're just going to do it again, and he worked with David like weeks before.
About two weeks. But
David brought to the table. He came to the table memorized, ready to go.
He was good.
And he had a playlist that Chris would have. Chris would play music for David to like get him back like emotionally where the scene took place.
Yeah.
He did a great job.
Likewise, the cool thing with, you know, there was a lot of parties involved with, you know, making that kind of work and making David feel comfortable and stuff. But, like, I gave Chris free rein, like, when we were shooting, like, if he wanted to get different performances out of David, like, I would let him in mid-scene. He would just say his line again before I even said anything and get it out of him. And we did that a lot, and it was cool. But it was also meeting David where he was at, and you know, Chris was saying, like, the first day I got there, David told me how much he loved making playlists. So it was like, cool, man, let's make a playlist for your character. And then we assigned a song to every scene he was in, and then ultimately in that scene, if he wasn't feeling it, I would have a PA that would come out and play that song, and we'd have a dance party breakout. And so literally we had the whole crew, the cast, I mean, or 11:30 at night, we had a 20 something person conga line coming down at the supermarket, like, you know, in front of 500 people at the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. We were just, dance parties broke out in every location. But ultimately it was because, you know, I felt like we all treated David with respect and love, and so therefore he also treated us respect and love. And you know, we didn't really like kid gloves on or anything. Like, we just said he's one of the guys. And again, David's super high functioning. Like, he's a smart dude, and he got it. And so, you know, it was a good team effort, and you know, we were a good group moving forward, and we all believe in the film. And I think, you know, again, I think the proof is in the film. When you see it, then people are responding to it.
But as the team leader, you give permission for all that to happen, which is the sort of the genius behind what you did.
Thanks, buddy.
Which is also a life lesson, I think, when you're feeling tired, play some music and have a dance party. It works across the board.
Yeah, I think it would work for me as well. And we know David is really a talented guy and also very intelligent. I mean, it's not just not just his character that memorized all the numbers on the fruit. That he actually did that, right?
Yeah, I mean, he'll tell you every time we do a Q&A, he's like, I had to memorize 130 lines from this guy. And it's like, yeah, he did, and he crushed it. I mean, like, and again, I mean, I probably said this in an interview before, but it's like, the only true limitations that David had coming in this thing were the ones that I put on him, because he, you know, as soon as we sat down, he started going at it. I was blown away. In fact, we were just in, we got here last time. He had an audition to put on tape for another film coming up. And so I said, hey, let me work with you. And so I said, have you read the lines yet? And he's like, oh, I read them a couple times. And I said, you know what? Then we'll just, this is going to be a good practice for you. But if you only read it a couple times, you're not going to be able to do this. Let's just try it. We'll see what happens. And we got in there and we started shooting. And he crushed it. And again, I took a step back and I said, here I am doubting this guy again. Because I know plenty of actors. I got plenty of friends that are actors. Like, that did the process he went through, like, they wouldn't be able to capture the scene. But he did it. I mean, anyway, so it was just like, he truly never ceases to amaze me. He's an interesting and dynamic dude for sure.
Now, you know, Christopher, you're not too shabby yourself. You do an excellent job in the movie. You know, you've got some great emotional scenes. I mean, you got to have the comedy in the movie. So I wanted to talk briefly about the comedy. You've got to have some lighthearted scenes, and of course, to lighten up, you know, otherwise somewhat of a tough subject, several different issues that you guys tackle, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think predominantly my character's an alcoholic, and he's dealing with addiction and the struggle there, and a secret. I mean, I don't know how Chris would feel about me saying this, but my character's secret was that he was waiting for Katie to get to basically 18, and he was just planning on drinking himself to death. Like, it was a pretty, you know, he was at the end of his rope. And so I was literally in this screening, and the guy behind me kept watching Calvin's Choices, and he was like, that guy is stupid. and so you have to play it with a little, there were moments where you had to play a little bit of levity, and it was so easy with David because his energy as a person and then the character he was playing was so buoyant that it was easy to go and match. So all of a sudden, whenever David comes on screen, the whole film kind of gets uplifted. But I had a few moments that, you know, I had to, the ball got handed to me, and it was a great role. It's a dream role. I mean, it really is. It's like one of those things where, you know.
I wouldn't say you had a few moments. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, when you have a first-time actor, period, like, we're going to be leaning heavily on the guy who's got the experience, and that's why Chris was vital, you know, in this whole thing. And for me, to get him was vital because I knew that he could pull it off. I mean, like, you're going to have to lean on somebody. And this film, I mean, there's... there's a lot of Chris Palaha in this film. It is Calvin's story. And if you didn't have somebody that was strong enough and able to, you know, bring it out of the other characters, especially those moments between him and David, because David's never acted before. I mean, that was a big X factor going into it. And, you know, I just, obviously I'm very grateful. We had a great cast and, you know, Chris was the head of that. So it was pretty powerful to watch, especially when you realize that Chris and David had only met one day before we started shooting. You know, like a lot of these studio films, they'll send you to, you know, go to boot camp for 2 weeks if you're going to shoot a, you know, platoon or something or whatever, or cheerleading camp, you're shooting a cheerleading movie with all the cast, but they had a day, and like it's really remarkable. Or like you look at his connection with Katie, his daughter, in the movie, they met the day of shooting. Like, so what you see on there is just so real and crazy. So I don't know. Again, as a director, it was pretty, not I'm gonna say easy, but it was
lightning in a bottle, man.
It was good.
In a bottle.
And speaking of powerful, I don't want to reveal anything here and give any spoilers away, but the ending is a very powerful ending. Did you know that was the way that the movie was going to end all along? Were there any changes along the way?
I don't want to spoil anything either, but I had a version that was very different than this one, okay. And I had a producer go, "You can't do that, man." And I was like, "Yeah, you're right. I can't do that. Let me rehash that one, and I'll get back to you." So yes, there was a lot of thought that went into the ending.
Excellent. Well, I think it is a great ending. So what are you guys working on next?
I'll tell you something about Hollywood. It is a bunch of I find mostly highly intelligent, extremely creative individuals who have jettisoned all reason in hopes of entertaining absolute strangers and hoping for the best every day. And it's literally a walk of faith. Your life becomes this daily walk of, like, where are you going to get your next job? You never know. Like, I've been at this for 13 years. I've had 7 series on the air, and I'm still like, well, maybe I'll have a job in 2 months. I may not. I might be unemployed. And it's very interesting, but you still go in it with this attitude of, like, you know what? It's going to be kind of cool. Which is why when a movie like Where Hope Grows comes onto the table, and you know, I read that script and I was like, this is a no-brainer. Even if, you know, nothing happens, it's fun to have on the reel. But then to see something happen and to see people's responses, like, it's just it's a fun, it feels like you're on a, you know, like riding a winning horse at a race. It's like, all right, cool. This is fun. And we'll see where it goes, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, Christopher, there's not going to be any short of your work because you're a very talented actor on this and, you know, on Backstrom and everything. So are you just focusing on Where Hope Grows now, Chris, or is there something else?
No, I mean, I've got a documentary that I did actually with the DP, Alex Lehman, on this, who's directing it, called Asperger's Are Us, and it's about a comedy troupe that everyone's on the autism scale, or autism spectrum. You know, we're just finishing that up, very excited about that, and then I'm just finishing up the first draft for a movie called Priceless, which is I'm partnering with for King and Country, which is, they just won 2 Grammys, but Christian, pretty popular Christian band. Actually, they're crossing over. They just played Kimmel last week, which is pretty awesome. But and it's it deals with sex trafficking, so it's cool to get into some
light, nice light comedy.
Yeah, jeez, I know.
You take on a lot of really difficult topics, don't you?
Well, I like that. I mean, I like that I'm getting people are coming to me for
serious matters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like cause based films. So it's exciting. So, you know, we're tackling that. It's a hard thing to tackle. But I'm really excited about it. We're trying to shoot it in August, and everything's shaping up nicely. So it's that one, and then looking on to the next. You know, like, just keep trying to keep having things ready in the hopper. So got some other scripts that are in development. Who knows?
Finally, what is the ultimate takeaway? If you can sum it all up, I'll give you both the opportunity for Where Hope Grows. What do you hope the audience takes away?
I mean, ultimately for me, it's a two-pronged thing. Whereas the first thing is, yes, like, take away, look at how remarkable David DeSantis is as an actor and how remarkable the character of Produce is, and see what that does for your viewpoint of what it means to have special needs. Secondarily, a film that can deliver a faith message that has quality acting and doesn't feel cheesy. Like, to me, it's, if you want to see more films like that, you gotta go support. And so, like, when it comes out May 15th, it's just very important that we have people that go out there to the theaters and go check it out. And I think they're gonna, so far, I mean, from every screen we've seen so far, it's gonna be, you know, money well spent. Like, you're gonna enjoy it. You're gonna tell your friends about it. So I think it's important.
Christopher, anything to add?
No, just be to be redundant to what Chris just said, but the first part of it being that in this business, you know, we vote with our dollars. And so if it's something, if it has a message that you believe in and that you support, then you gotta go and you gotta, you know, spend your dollars to go see it and bring friends and talk about it, and word of mouth, because again, it's a faith-based film, and it's not cheesy, and it's not saccharine, and it's, you know, and so it's that thing that you always hope you get. And then the other thing is, yeah, if there's like honestly, if there's a woman out there who's pregnant and the doctor's told her that, you know, she's having a baby with Down syndrome and she's considering aborting that child, that maybe she'll see this movie and she'll have second thoughts and say, you know what, maybe life wouldn't be as scary or as hopeless as I think it would be, you know, with this situation, and maybe it'll be another thing. So I don't know. I just think it's got a really powerful message.
That was writer-director Chris Dowling and actor Christopher Palaha on behalf of Where Hope Grows. It opened yesterday, so check it out in theaters. I gave it a thumbs up. And Dave, I think that you said you liked it as well.
I did, too. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Oh, there's Dave.
Hi, I'm back, right? I'm back. Where, just when you thought it was safe to be in the water.
Where did you record that at?
That was outside of Harkin Scottsdale 101 during the Phoenix Film Festival.
That's right.
They had a good screening.
Cine Capri.
I remember. Yeah.
We met Kurt Warner and Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
Great, great athletes.
I'm your dream girl. This is real love. But you know what they say about me. That girl is a problem. Girl is a problem.
Check.